How many of you have walked into walls while trying to read the Bible? Not a real wall, I hope not. But as you're reading the Bible, you look at it and you go, you can agree with me, this is sometimes, often, a confusing book. Right? Some of it we understand, and we've been around the church long enough and heard enough teachers and preachers, you kind of, for the most part, get it. But there's parts of it that just go, huh? Can you say that? Huh? Like, it's really, really confusing sometimes. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word, God's word, is a lamp to guide our feet and to light our path. We all need light where we're going. How many of you get up in the middle of the night and you're trying to go get a glass of water or something, you hit your shin on something? Ow! We need a light. I've said this a number of times. The scriptures, the Bible, was not written to us. It is written for us. The Bible was written to groups of people way back when. But today it is written for us. It's for us. It's God's gift. If we are a Christian, then even the Old Testament is our spiritual history. Even the Old Testament is our historical promises and calling. So my point today is I really want us to appreciate and respect the whole Bible. There's a movement among some Christians like the Old Testament is irrelevant. Throw it out. Just deal with the New Testament. That is wrong. The whole Bible is our whole Bible. It is for us. It is to help us. It is God's very word to us. And over these next number of weeks, I'm going to help us understand more of particularly the Old Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, verse 16, all scripture. Now, we need to understand and remember that when the New Testament was written, it was just becoming the Bible, but all they had was the Old Testament. So when they're saying here, and Paul is saying here in Timothy, that all scripture, he's meaning all the Old Testament, all the Torah, all the prophets, all the Psalms, all everything, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what's true. To teach us what's true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. We need to know what's true and we need to know what needs to change. We go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Peter is writing, not just Paul, but Peter is writing, above all, you must realize that no prophecy of Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding. A lot of people believe, well, it's just a whole bunch of men and women just started writing the Bible, whatever came to their thought. No. Never came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No. These prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God using humans. I love that. Can you imagine, and there are some, I guess, some religions and faith that believe that there's this word that came down from somewhere. Or there's one religion that says they found it buried and they pulled it up. You know what I love? I love about our Bible, it was written by God through real humans. Not aliens, nothing else. But real humans that lived life just like you and I, and they wrote the scriptures with the Holy Spirit. It's a real book written in real life. That's why we can read it and go, oh. We go to Romans. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Such things, he's talking about the scriptures, such things were written in the scriptures long ago. Long ago. We're talking the Old Testament again. Were written long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be filled. They were all written for our encouragement and our hope. That's why we read it. God has given us the Bible. He's given us the scriptures. What's my point today? I really want us to appreciate and respect the whole Bible. It is for us, to help us, and it is God's very word to us. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about the first five books of the Bible. What's called the Book of Moses, often they call it the Torah. Genesis, it tells the story of creation, Adam and Eve, the first sin, the flood, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Esau, and Joseph. Then you go to Exodus, which is the birth of Moses, and the Exodus of the Israelites that in the end of Genesis were in Egypt and they were captive, and how they cried out and said, we got to get out from Egypt, and how Moses was born and his life and how they moved on. And then it includes the instructions to live outside of Egypt. Now, we have to understand this. When you're looking at the five books of Moses, the Israelites were captive for 400 years. I don't know if we can understand that. That'd be like Canada being under captivity since 1625. Can you imagine? They didn't have a life. They were slaves. They didn't have their own life. They had to work 6 or 7 days a week. They were in this one area, but it was squalor. It was terrible. 400 years, they didn't know who they were in some respects. 400 years, that's 10 generations, if you go on 40 years a generation. That's 10 generations of people that lived in this area. So they had to have instructions, and now what do? We're going to come out. So they come out, and they go into the desert. That's why I put desert on there. That's kind of what they were walking around in. And they built, God helped them build a tabernacle where actually God lived among them. That's all part of Exodus. Then we get to the most exciting book in the Old Testament called Leviticus. Any of you read Leviticus? Wow. You just kind of flip through it and move on. Where's the good stuff? But Leviticus was just all the instructions for the priests and the offerings and sacrifice. Remember, they didn't have that in Egypt. How do we worship God now? We always believed in God. How do we worship Him? And that's what that book is, an instruction manual for the Israelites, for the priests, and how they do sacrifices. Now, again, we go, I don't get it. I know, it was written 3,000 to 4,000 years ago. We don't get it. That's fine. Don't sweat it. If we don't understand something in the Old Testament, don't beat yourself up. Don't hit your head all the time. I'm not getting it. It's a different culture, a different time. But they have to figure out, how do we worship God while we're here? Then Numbers picks up after Exodus, their sin, and they travel for 40 years in the desert. They won a few battles, before they were getting into the promised land. And then Deuteronomy was a review of the laws and the law and the laws, and had to prepare people to take the promised land. Now understand this. We don't always, and I'm not, it's not a bad thing, we just don't understand it because we weren't there. So you take, picture, almost 2 million people. Okay, how many is in Manitoba? I think Winnipeg is 600,000, 700,000 people. Right? Right? Somebody knows statistics. In Manitoba, if you have 2 million people, upwards of 2 million people in Egypt, Moses comes, let my people go. And so they eventually leave. There's all that kind of fun story there. And they all leave, and all of a sudden they're out in the desert. Now what? 2 million people. If you ever want a leadership crisis, try to be Moses. Trying to lead 2 million grumpy, annoyed people. We're out here, now what? So they're trying to figure out what to do. Plus, they're going to take over a promised land. They had no idea how to fight. They weren't an army. They didn't know how to hold a sword. They had to make swords. They had to do all of that kind of stuff. And then they had to learn how to do battle. We think that they just came out and went on. No, there was 40 years, and part of it was punishment. But part of this, what are we doing out here? How do we take over that city over there? That country over there? That area? How do we do that? They needed to figure it out. And that's what the whole five books of Moses is helping us understand. This is what they had to go through. What did Canada have to go through to come over and make Canada? I know there's all kinds of issues around that and our Aboriginal people and all of that, and I respect all of that, but trying to make a new nation, try to make it work, all of that kind of stuff, what did Canada all have to do? That's important history. The direct effect of us. So, now, again, my point is, I really want us to understand and to appreciate and respect the whole Bible. It is for us, to help us, and it's God's very word to us. Now, the problem is that most or many of us have only read bits and pieces of the Old Testament. If you go to some devotionals, they'll take you to this chapter, and then they'll take you to this chapter, and they'll take you to this chapter, or this verse, or whatever. So we get bits and pieces, and we're looking at the five books of Moses, and going, this makes no sense to me. And that's why the encouragement for us is to actually sit down and read a whole book over a week. Actually get the whole picture from start to finish. Now, we as preachers and teachers haven't helped you either, because we kind of pick and choose and kind of go around. So, okay, I get that. Yes, the Old Testament is an old book written 3,000 to 4,000 years ago. And the history doesn't have much relevance to us today. In fact, it is written in a different time and a different culture that we have a very difficult time understanding. And this is my encouragement to us, if you really want to figure it out and make your way through it, is to get a really good study Bible. A really good study Bible that has side columns and all that kind of stuff that can help you understand. And to read through it so you go, oh, this is what's going on. Oh, this is what that word means. Oh, that's what that cultural thing is. Really good to understand. And then we somehow feel that it's all supposed to apply to us today. Now, this is the thing. What we have learned inadvertently is that no matter where we go in the Bible, we should be able to read something and it should apply to us. Not really. I know that sounds weird. Not really. I'll read a couple of verses later to show that to you, but not everything that we read in the Bible do we have to get, like when you're going through Leviticus, what does this mean to me today? I have no idea. This doesn't, don't worry about it. There's a bigger picture. But when we come at the Bible saying, every time I read, something has to jump at me. Every time I read, something has to meet me. No, it doesn't. It's okay. It doesn't. Because wherever you might be reading, all of a sudden you go, this makes no sense. And it's okay. Sometimes we end up giving up on our Bible reading and devotions because I'm not getting anything out of it. Don't worry about it. When's the last time you heard a preacher say that? Don't worry about it. Pick it up again the next day and keep going. And what you're doing is you're getting a bigger picture, as I've just explained, as to how that, like what is Leviticus all about? That's what it is. It's just how they did religion, their faith, Judaism, back then. Okay, interesting stuff. There might be something that might jump out at you, but don't worry about it. Just keep going. Just keep swimming. Right? Just keep going. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it in the corner and go, I don't get that. All right? The Old Testament is all true history. It's true, actual history. Archaeologists have proven it and continue to teach us more the more and more they find. And it's good for us to read sometimes, but it is hard to understand. Yes, that's why we have good books and study Bibles and others that are written to help us understand what's going on. Currently, I'm taking a seminary course on the survey of the New Testament, and my textbook is 600 pages. Okay, 590. I'm exaggerating a little bit. 590 pages, and it's a good size. Okay? And it gives me a lot of background of the time of when Jesus lived and when the apostles lived and what all happened and they wrote. And it's both fascinating and yet sometimes totally overwhelming to grasp. But that's okay. I don't throw the book in the corner. I don't get it. No, I continue to walk through it and learn. And some things I get and some things I don't. Remember, the Bible was written for us. God wrote it for us. Okay, so now we're getting to the fun part here. I know, it's all fun. Then why the rules and laws? Why all the rules and laws? Because God loved the Israelites. And he needed to help them live free from Egypt. And after being rescued, they are now living out in the middle of the desert. Imagine this. Everyone from babies to pregnant women to the old people that could barely walk and to every, that's all part of that 2 million people. It's like our church times a million or whatever that is, right? Like it's everybody. This is the 2 million that are going. How do they make that work? And you probably didn't know this, but there were a number of Egyptian people that also left Egypt with the Israelites. They were impressed with the Israelites. They were scared spitless because of all the plagues and said, we're going to get out of Egypt too. And so there was a large number of people, of Egyptians and other nations, that actually left with the Israelites. So it wasn't just Jews. It was the Israelites and Egyptians and all kinds of other people from other nations that were also all part of this 2 million people. Whew, that's crazy. And they didn't know how to live on their own. And God is now trying to give them a new identity and to find who they are and a large group of people that would follow God and love him with all their hearts, all their minds, all their souls, and their body. They needed to take care, God needed to take care of them and show them how to take care of each other. So let's look at a couple of interesting things. Brett, let's go up to this next slide. this next slide here. These couple of verses, and you're going, huh? Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. Huh? Do not plant your fields, which should be your fields, with two kinds of seed. Well, that's a no-brainer, right, Kevin? Like, that's a no-brainer. Do not wear clothes made of two kinds of material. Can you all look at me like I'm looking at you? Like, I don't get it. Why? These three things is what a lot of the nations, there were godless, evil nations all the way around them. And they were moving into this area where there were all these other nations. And a lot of them, or most of them, if not all of them, believed in different gods. And part of the thing that they believed in was fertility and magic. And so what they would do in their nations is they would take a young goat and boil it in a mother's milk as a fertility ritual. They would take and plant two kinds of seed in a field in order to get their gods to listen to them and really make the crops better. They would wear two different, now today, don't look at your labels, but most of our clothes now have two or three different kinds of material, right? Right? Talking to my wife who's a sewer. Okay, right? Like, we don't worry about that. That's not. But back then, it was a part of the world religions around them. And God is saying, no, we're not going there. I'm taking care of you. I will do all the fertility in your goats and your herds and your sheep. I will take care of your fields. I will take care of everything. You don't have to do these things. In fact, I don't want you to do these. And if you read in the Old Testament, often the Israelites went towards those nations. And he's saying, don't go to those nations. Stay away from them. That's why. Next verse. When you build a new house, Colin, when you build a new house, Cody, when you build, you must put a railing around the edge of its flat roof. Like, come on already. Really? Like, really? Okay, next slide. That way, you will not be considered guilty of murder if someone falls from the roof. So what they did is they had flat roofs. Now, and most construction, I can't say all, but most construction guys put, if they have a roof they, or a floor or whatever, they're putting walls around, right? So you don't inadvertently fall off. If you're up on a roof, you know, you're tied on, right? Okay? So there's all these safety things. Do you see? You go, well, that doesn't make sense. Can we see that God cared? They didn't know. This is all new to them as they're building their houses, going, oh, how come that guy fell off? Oh. And then they get charged with murder because you didn't protect your people. Do you see how God's thinking about this? One more. You'll love this one. Next one. I love this one. You must have a designated area outside the camp where you can go to relieve yourself. Each of you must have a spade as part of your equipment. And whenever you relieve yourself, dig a hole with the spade and cover the excrement. Yes, that's in the Bible. Why? It's obvious, isn't it? And if you have pets, and in winter, you just let the pet go out and just do his business, and then come spring. Yikes. Can you imagine 2 million people, and they didn't have a place where they should put their excrement or poop? And God also cares about cleanliness and sanitation. Do you see how God really cared? So now, the next time you're out for coffee, when people bring up this verse, just as part of the conversation, and see what people say. Our pastor talked about this on Sunday morning. Do you see how God cares about all? And we read through it and we go, I don't get it. Did you know that there's a law in Winnipeg, Calgary, most cities, you're not allowed to pee on the street? Did you know that? Why? Why? Like, what's the big deal? Okay? So, when we're reading the Old Testament, this is my last line, and then Ryan Christie can come up. God really cares. Right down to the details, and right down to practicality. That's one of the lessons that I get from the book of Moses. God cares about all the details and the practicality. Come on, you two, and lead us.
Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can be together. Thank you that we can worship you. And thank you, God, that you love us. Right down to the detail. Right down to practicality. We love you, God.